Happy Valentine's Day. And because it's Valentine's Day, our outlines are red. We have two handouts for you. If you did not pick them up, Chuck, you ready to give them out? We have a little one and a big one. You can't read what's on there, but at least it's red paper. Okay, how's that? Is that okay? So we'll use those up. And I'll tell you a little secret. We thought it was going to snow and sleet and rain. So we were in here yesterday getting ready for church and taping this. So anyhow, thanks for coming. It's good to be together. Two red handouts. If you didn't pick up one, and if you're watching online, they should be posted online for you. I don't know if they're red on the website. They're not, okay. But there's an outline, and there's a little follow-up. We'll go over that in Sunday school a little bit, but I thought you could take it home. I noticed something, and maybe you did too, during the pandemic season. I noticed a current and unique practice. Many of the radio stations out there decided they were going to help cheer us up during the pandemic, if that was possible. And so all during the year, what do they decide to do? They decide to play Christmas music. They thought that would be cheerful. Not about the Lord Jesus, but just, you know, Santa Claus and Frosty and sleigh ride and all that kind of fun stuff. And they thought that by doing that, they'd take our mind off the disaster and bring a little joy. Mike, do you remember the day not that long ago when we weren't supposed to say Merry Christmas? And you go into Walmart, and they would say, what would they say to you? They'd say,
hey, howdy.
And you would be rebellious, and what would you say? Hey, Merry Christmas. Wow, that's great. Anyhow, they weren't talking about Jesus, but they were talking about Christmas. Well, when you get to 1 Peter, Peter has a better idea. He's all about Christmas, about the Lord Jesus. But he thought, to cheer us up, during the pandemic, during suffering, and who knows what's ahead, he's going to do something a little different. He's going to give us a Valentine's Day emphasis. And so I want to go to 1 Peter this morning and look at Peter's Valentine's Day greeting. All right? This is going to be an emphasis from the Apostle Peter because of several things. I'm going to list them, his emphasis. Why would he talk about love? Why would he talk about love? Well, remember, Peter's a disciple. He was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me go through two references here with you this morning. Jesus said this when he was asked about end time events and some of the bad things that would happen before the end of the age. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, and Peter was right there when he said this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus said, because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of most will grow cold. A characteristic during bad times is that even among believers, your love can kind of grow a little cold. And so Peter's concerned about that. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, was writing about the end times. We're living in the last days, okay? But he was giving some specific characteristics about the end days. And in chapter 3, I personally believe that he's talking about the professing church. This is what the professing church is going to be like. Not genuine believers necessarily, but those who claim to belong to Christ and maybe really don't know him. And he says this, but know this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, know this, in the last days, difficult times will come. And then several times Paul mentioned love that's being misplaced. It's not just cooling down, it's in the wrong direction. And he says this in verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves. What is that? That's misplaced love. It says here in verse 3, men will be unloving. Verse 4, they will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's not a good thing. That's misplaced love. So love is either going to cool down or it's going to be misplaced. So what Peter does for his readers back then and for us this morning, he gives us a little Valentine's Day greeting, even before there was ever such a thing, right? And by the way, you know this, but I had a professor at Dallas Seminary that said, love is always a decision of the will leading to action. I need to make that choice, all right? I need to make that choice. Several things on your notes. Number one, exactly what did Peter hear about love? What did Peter hear about love? We know from the Gospels that as Peter was discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself in the flesh himself, he heard a lot of things. But let me just mention two in particular. First thing Peter heard, or at least the first one I want to point out this morning, is that love, biblical love, is the distinguishing mark of a Christian. Love is the distinguishing mark of a Christian. All right? You know that. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, will all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." When believers are practicing love for one another, it is a distinguishing mark. The world is going to know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's a second facet of love that Peter learned from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's found at the end of John's Gospel. If you're there, if you have your Bible, go to the end of John 20, John chapter 21. You know these verses. You know this story. The Lord Jesus is restoring Peter back to ministry. This is a great account. Peter failed the Lord Jesus Christ at least how many times in a row? Three times. Remember, Peter told Jesus, "If all else leave you, Lord, I'm not." Okay, I'm not. In other words, I love you more than the rest. I'm sticking with you. I'm your main man. And what did Jesus say? He said, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me." And by the way, denying Christ is very serious. You study that in the New Testament, very serious. Jesus said, "If you deny me, guess what I'm going to do when we're before the Father? I'm going to deny you." Peter ends up denying the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And by the way, there is no sin unforgivable, all right? As long as you're alive, there's always time for grace. There's always time for forgiveness. That is just a wonderful truth. But in John 21, Jesus graciously restores Peter to service. No one gets to be put on the shelf, all right? He's going to restore him to ministry, and he's going to teach us that love is the key motivation for Christian service. If you're taking notes, you want to write down the key motivation for Christian service is love. We see that here. There's a lot here. John 21, verse 15, right? They're on the beach. They catch fish. Jesus had cooked them breakfast. What were they eating for breakfast, by the way? I don't know about the chips. They had fish, right? Getting us hungry, Nance. Talk to him, all right? Talk to your boy there, all right? Verse 15, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, class is about to be in session, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" I believe he's pointing to the other disciples because Peter already said he loved them more than anyone else. Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs. Get to work. Get back to ministry. Be motivated by that love for me. If you're really motivated by that love, you're going to serve." Well, we're not done yet. Verse 16, he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Get busy. Get busy. If you have love, let that motivate you to get active in ministry. Well, verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And what's it say? Peter was grieved. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Get busy. Get back into ministry. The key motivation for Christian service here is love. Of course, there's forgiveness and there's reconciliation, but the key motivation here is love. That's what Peter heard. Now, number two on your notes, what did Peter say about love? What did Peter say about love? And this will be just a little bit of a review this morning, I think. Three statements, all right, Peter says about love. And then I want to open up his Valentine's Day card and look at another thing he said, right? First thing he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, and this is a great verse. They're all great verses, but this one is really, really powerful because it shows us where we need to be aiming and where we need to be working, all right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that Christ followers, that's genuine believers, love the unseen Christ. We love Jesus, all right? It says here, whom having not seen, you love. And that love for Christ needs to be constantly cultivated because we drift, because we cool down, because we end up loving wrong things. We need to cultivate that love at home with our Bibles, private worship. We need to cultivate that when we get together as a church, as we sing, as we fellowship, as we learn the Word of God together. That's very, very important. Christ followers love the unseen Christ. Second thing he says by way of review, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter tells us that Christ followers, genuine believers, are to love one another with fervency. Fervency. Our love ought to be red hot. Not just lukewarm, all right? That doesn't count. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently. Take it up. Get hot about it, okay? It's important. It's important. Dr. Wayne Grudem, who writes theology, he's, if you want to look at some good stuff, find him on YouTube. He's wonderful. He just rewrote his theology. It came out in 95, just came out again this year. It's like hundreds of pages longer. Dr. Grudem wrote, he said, the characteristic of a Christian community is enduring, fervent love for one another, rooted in God's saving work. And by the way, it's our responsibility to keep it hot. It's not going to happen all by itself. I want to give you a third statement Peter says about love, and we haven't looked at it yet on Sunday morning. We will, but let me give you this one. And the third facet or statement about love is that Christ followers have a kingdom obligation. Christ followers, when it comes to love, have a kingdom obligation. I want you to just make sure you're open to 1 Peter chapter 2 and find verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 is what I want to call an umbrella verse. And I plan to come back and go through this section in a little more detail, but let me just give it to you by way of survey this morning. There's a big umbrella approach here. Peter says, and this is in the section where Peter is teaching you and I how to live during times of suffering and persecution. How are we to behave now? And so verse 17 is a good umbrella verse. He says, here's a big umbrella, okay? What's it say? It says, honor all people. Say that with me, okay? Honor all people. What's that mean? That means everybody, right? That means whether I like them or not. That means whether they voted for you-know-who or not. That's fun. I love saying that, you know? That means whether they're a believer, an unbeliever. Biblical obligation, I honor everybody. I'm not going to fight with anybody, okay? At least not now, all right? I'm obligated to honor. And then, this is cool. Under this umbrella, Peter breaks it up to categories, okay? There's a different nuance for different groups here, all right? And by the way, this is in the Bible when it says to honor. You're not going to like some of the stuff that's in the Bible, but it's here, so we just give it to you, all right? Under the umbrella, it says, my obligation, your obligation, is to love the brotherhood, all right? You see that? Love, who's the brotherhood? Believers. And it's interesting in 1 Peter, when Peter talks about who we are to love, it's one another. It's not the ungodly world. That'll be taught in other scriptures. All right, well, Peter's dealing with love is for the brotherhood. It's for the sisterhood. You know, it's for the believers. Love the brotherhood. Love the family, all right? That's what we are to be about doing. And that's what Jesus said. You know, a mark of discipleship is that you're loving one another, all right? Now, under the umbrella, second category is God. What are we to do with God? We fear God. We reverence Him. We worship Him. We obey Him. You got that? Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Honor God. And then he says, this last thing on the umbrella, and some of you don't like this, but he says it anyhow, honor the king. Honor the king. You see that? And we honor those who are in governing authority by submitting, as long as they're not contradicting the word of God, right? Fellow believers, God and the king. Honor everybody. That's kingdom obligation. And that's very easy to understand. It's very hard to put into practice. Our life transformation groups, and I'm excited about them, and I have something else going on outside the groups that's got me fired up. I've been on the phone with a pastor friend in Iowa. I was on the phone with one of the navigator experts in Pennsylvania yesterday. He was getting more information. But we're all reading through Daniel right now. All the men, all the women, we're reading through Daniel because Daniel is a wonderful book dealing with a perfect model of an exile. How do you live an ungodly world? And if anybody exemplified it, it was Daniel. From being a teenager all the way through the rest of his life, just a wonderful example. And when you get to Daniel, and when you get to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, Daniel is just such a wonderful illustration of this, isn't he? Just how he, you know, Daniel loved his fellow believers. He loved them. He feared God, and he honored the king. He did. And you read that book again, and when Nebuchadnezzar is going the wrong direction, boy, Daniel didn't want anything bad to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Because he understood the word of God here. Now, read Daniel. That's a great book. Now, before we get to the table this morning, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and look inside this year's Valentine's Day card from Peter, okay? By the way, how many got a Valentine's Day card this morning? You got one? Yeah. Hey, that's good. Okay. How many sent Valentine's Day card? How many are outraged at the price that Hallmark's charging for cards these days? Oh, my goodness. I picked up a card in a store I won't mention, Charlie. Okay, you can ask me later. And how much does a card cost in the dollar store? It's still Valentine's Day, okay, so all day. So if you didn't get to do what you're supposed to do, Dollar Tree, you're saying, right? Well, I looked at a card the other day in a particular store. I won't mention the name. And like, boy, I was looking, where's all the candy that's supposed to come with this thing? You know, they don't even give you a postage stamp with the card. It's outrageous. Peter's card's free, okay? Let's look at this. This is fun. I love this. Red outline, Peter's card, okay? You're not going to hear this anyplace else, all right? First Peter, Rick, is this fast enough? You okay? All right, let's go. We'll heat it up, all right? I have Starbucks hot chocolate for you, too, okay, out there if you get real cold, right? Yeah, there's a lot of love with that. Okay, all right. No frills. I want you to notice the timing. Notice the timing in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. We're in the end times. This is not going to last forever. The end's coming. And we're thinking, how long is it going to be, Lord? It seems to be taking a long time. The end's near. The end's near, okay? In other words, pay attention. Pay attention. Notice the supreme priority in verse 8. Peter says to you, above all things. When you read that, this indicates this has to be my top focus, your top priority, all right? This is not something we get to when we have time, all right? This ought to get our attention. And I reversed the order here a little bit. I'm not sure why, but I did. Looking at verse 8, Peter writes, have fervent love for one another. And then in the New King James, he has that little word, for or because. This is a priority because why is this so? Because love, this fervent love, is going to cover a multitude of sin. Peter gets that from the Bible. He gets that from Jesus, but he gets it from Proverbs 10, verse 12. All right? It all flows together, doesn't it? And the fun part about life transformation groups, you're reading the Bible together, you're reading a book this month and another book another month, and just see after a while how all the Bible kind of goes together, doesn't it? It's kind of wonderful. Proverbs 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs, covers all offenses, transgressions. Now, I need to say this, and I might come back to this some another time. Peter is not telling us to ignore sin in the church. He's not saying that. He'll give us other instructions how to deal with sin. He's talking about how these transgressions, these offenses that sort of divide us. Notice how Peter tells us to love. Again, we read it before, but look at verse 8. He says, above all things, have fervent love. Fervent love. That, again, means red hot intensity. Gotta be hot. I went to see Farmer Tom last Sunday for a few moments, and he was downstairs. He was in the cellar. They put him in the cellar. It wasn't because he was bad. It's because he was cold. Tom's, I think he's thinner than I am. That's pretty thin. And he was really, really cold. So his wife put him down in the cellar by the wood stove they made. He built it. And she stoked it full of firewood. And I like it hot. You know, I like being nice and warm. Man, it was really warm. My hair started growing. It was warm. And Tom said to me, he said, Dave, put a blanket on me, all right? Put a blanket on me. That's the picture of fervent, red hot. We need this stove so hot that when Tom gets down there, he's going to feel comfortable. And he did. And he did. That's what Peter says. We are to be loving one another with red hot intensity. As you see the tribulation coming, I've been staying away from the news and all the reports because, number one, I don't believe most of what I'm hearing out there. All right? You don't either. And number two, most of it's discouraging and there's other things to do. And I wanted to give my wife a book the other day. You know what she said to me? If I read this, I don't have time for my Bible. I said, yeah, that's right. So we need to spend more time in our Bibles these days. Let me give you seven observations or declarations I think I found helpful to help us love one another fervently, and put 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 into action. All right, these are on the table for you. These are not exhaustive. You know, these will help us just a little bit. Okay, I'm going to read through these and say one or two things with you, all right? Number one, if I'm serious about loving the brotherhood with fervent love, I will not go around actively looking for faults in others. I will not do that, but I will seek to think the best of others. And is that always easy? Christians can be weird. Don't look at me that way, you know? You think Jersey people are strange. Yeah, we are. I mean, and you know Christians. You know, sometimes some of them smell bad. They just smell bad. You don't want to be that close to them. You ever? No names. Some just talk too much. Some like things that we think are really strange. And it goes on and on and on. You know how it is. If we're going to love one another fervently, we're not going to be looking for faults. We're going to be looking for the best. All right? And that takes active work. It does. Number two. If I'm going to love with intensity, listen. I will not spend my emotional energy, of which I have very little, lingering over the past flaws and sins of others. There's a man who's with the Lord now, and on the internet, the articles keep coming out and coming out and coming out and coming out about all his sins. Why? It is not necessary. It's a done deal. You know, it'll wear you out physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It's ungodly. It's ungodly. We had a husband and wife in New Jersey. And back several decades ago, where we were ministering, it was a corporate area. People would move in from literally all over the country to work at Bell Labs or AT&T or Johnson & Johnson. There's a lot of corporations in the New Brunswick, Princeton area. And so we would get a lot of visitors at church. people transferring in from Bible churches and looking for Dallas Seminary people. And so we got a lot of visitors. And we had a couple who would invite you over their house right away for pizza. And I'll go for a free pizza meal. Okay, that's cool. But they would take visitors over their home. And I'm not sure they were intentional or not, but they would give them all the bad church history, all the stuff you don't talk about, all right? And so when I would get to chat with them, they knew everything about everything. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not fervent love. That's not fervent love. Number third, I will always stand ready to forgive others. And Peter's point is we're going to spend eternity together. Dr. Swindoll wrote, "Nothing more quickly turns unbelievers off to Christ than witnessing his church, fighting with each other, rather than loving each other fervently." I will always stand ready to forgive others. I was going to give you an illustration here, but I think I'll bypass this one. Number four, and these are tough, but these are necessary. I will purpose in my heart not to hold grudges or allow myself to be offended, even if I am offended. You know, we all can get offended, right? I'm going to say no. I'm going to smile and wave. It's not worth it. Life's too short. Number five, I like this one. Number five, I will, and observing the Lord's table is a great opportunity to do this, I will periodically clean house. I will hit the empty button on my computer trash icon. I don't know about you. It's probably true of some of you. I have, it's truth time now, so I better get a good number. I think I have three or four drawers at home, D-R-A-W-S, drawers. You know what I mean? That I dump everything in. You have those drawers? You know, the house looks really clean. You know why? Because I dump everything in the drawer. And so I empty my pockets. I come home with stuff, or I leave stuff on the table wherever. And, you know, someone's coming over. The wife's coming home, whatever it is. It all goes in these little drawers. You know, I got one. I think they're all over the house. And so you walk in the house and say, hey, this is a really clean house until you open it, you know. And every now and then, Charlie, I have to open the drawer, take it over to the table. Sometimes I dump them out. Sometimes I just, and most of the stuff gets thrown away. But I need to do that. And it's amazing what I find. Sometimes, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you just got to empty the drawer, clean the drawer out, all right? You may be offended. You may have had your feelings hurt. Someone may have missed you and been nice. You just got to deal with it. You got to deal with that. We're going to love fervently. Number six. I will dedicate myself by the grace of God to live in a manner that will please my Heavenly Father. I mean, that's why you're here this morning, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Listen to these verses. You know them. Jesus said to his followers, says to you, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. You got that? You forgive one another, God will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, what's the rest of it say? We don't like this part. Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Those are two very hard verses. And I know how to explain them away. I was taught to, well, they only mean this. They're serious. And if we want to please our Heavenly Father, we better be in the business of forgiving one another and loving one another with fervency. Number seven, and there's probably more, but we'll stop here. Number seven. These are written out for you. I will intentionally bite my tongue. If I'm going to practice 1 Peter 4:8, having fervent love for one another, I will bite my tongue rather than spreading some fun and juicy gossip. Gossip's fun. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it. I mean, it must give us some kind of pleasure. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in a hurry to talk about what's going on in somebody else's life. All right? It makes us feel better. It does something. I mean, sin has this drawing capacity. I'll bite my tongue, and it's going to hurt. And my tongue may have a lot of holes in it, but that's okay. Because fervent love is very, very important. My professor at Dallas also said, Dr. Ed Bloom also said, Christians forgive faults in others because they know the forgiving grace of God in their own lives. And if you have been forgiven by Christ, by trusting in Him, then you have full power, full capacity to forgive. If you've never trusted Christ, you can't really forgive. You don't have that capacity. You could try. You really can't. But when you place your faith in Christ and understand what He did for you on the cross, when you begin, and we'll never totally understand the depth of that forgiveness, but when you begin to understand that you've been forgiven, you can begin to forgive others. What does Peter say in his Valentine's Day card? He says this. He says, "Beloved, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves." Why? Love will cover a multitude of sins. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray, bow in prayer. You know, the Lord Jesus warned us that offenses will come. Offenses will come. And you might be offended by someone this morning, or hold a grudge about someone this morning, or somebody did something or did not do something. And boy, sometimes these things can go way back, years. And they don't get better with age. And the wound is still there. The wound is still there. And you're not thinking about it, but then you hear something or see something, and then all of a sudden the wound gets ripped open again. It's time. It's time to deal with that. It's time to deal with that. It's called repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. If there's some sin you need to confess before the Lord this morning, just in the quietness of this moment, just bow your head, your heart, and confess it before the Lord. Great time to empty that drawer as we go to the table. Or maybe you have been offended by somebody. Maybe it's a legitimate offense. Maybe they really did something wrong to you, evil. It's time to leave it at the cross. I could tell you a story about someone who just trusted God when God said, "Vengeance is mine." Wild story. I'll tell you that another time. Wild story. But it's time. It's time to just leave it. Leave it at the cross. And continue to go on with a loving, gracious spirit. Only Christians can do that because of grace. But take that time this morning. Take that time this morning to deal with that offense. Deal with that lacking of forgiveness before we remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection at the table. Father, it's hard to love certain people. It's hard to be excited. It's hard to let things go. It's hard when people have genuinely hurt us to move on. And I'm sure there's someone here this morning that's dealing with that. And it's keeping them in prison. They're their own warden. We ask this morning for liberating grace, that we would leave it at the foot of the cross, these offenses, that we would be able to exercise forgiveness. And not only experience freedom, that liberating feeling that comes from doing that, but Father, also be free to have that fervent love for one another. Father, use us, energize us, and may we, wherever we work or live, just make a difference, because we want to put your word in us. Operation, application, and represent you. And we know this will please you, in Jesus' name. Amen.